All right, so we're starting a message series last week called Red Letters, okay? And we're looking at the words of Jesus. We're looking at the things that he said in your Bible. You see them oftentimes as red letters. Now, in your bulletin today, they're not red, they're black and white, and that's strictly because we're on a budget and we're trying to be mindful of your donations. So that's why they're black and white. But in the Bible, oftentimes they're called red letters. And so we're going to look at some verses today out of Matthew chapter 8. But before we get there, really, really quickly, I just want to remind us of a few things about Jesus and about who he is. Now, if you go to the Old Testament, and you'll see this in your bulletin, we're going to go through this really quickly. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, this is what God says, "I am the first and the last, and besides me there is no other God." Now, Jesus said this in Revelation, right? He said, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega," meaning the first and the last of the Greek alphabet. And what solidified that or verified that was what? His resurrection, okay? If you look at Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to," meaning that God doesn't force us to worship him. God doesn't want robots, but which makes it beautiful when we choose him. Being created in his image. And then you see John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. "In the beginning was the Word," that's referring to Jesus there. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made." Now verse 14 says that, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And so when we look at the words of Christ, we're looking at what God would have to say in the flesh when he took on flesh and dwelt among us. Now, the very next verse, you know, it says that all scripture is God-breathed, and we said this last week. I don't think that the other parts of the Bible are any less significant, though sometimes they tell a story. So you may be reading a story that is God-breathed, maybe about David and some of the moral failures that he had. It doesn't make them any less significant. They're just saying something different. And so when we read the red letters, we're reading the words of Christ. We're reading what God would have to say to us or to the disciples when he was in the flesh in the person of Christ, right? One God existing in three persons. And so today we're going to talk about faith, and we're going to talk about this, that God doesn't want us to live in fear. God wants us to live with peace and joy and comfort that comes from his presence and the things that he's promised us. And sometimes we lose sight of that, right? And that's why we need God. That's why we need his word to remind us of those things. And the reason that we're talking about faith specifically is because we don't need our faith to grow when things are easy. It's easy to have faith when things are going well. We need faith when God feels distant at times, right? And so those are the moments that we need our faith to grow. So the text today is going to come out of Matthew chapter 8. And before we get there, and this isn't in your bulletin, but Jesus had just shared a message about the cost of following him. He'd shared a message with people about this is what it costs to follow me. And he says, "Let the dead go and bury their dead." And he's talking about the spiritually dead. And then the text brings us to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And it's the story about Jesus and his disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee on a boat when a storm comes up. And this is what it says in verse 23. "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him." Now, I know there's some discrepancies about how much Jesus foreknew and how much knowledge he knew in his human form. But if you go back to John chapter 1, I believe it is, when he goes to Nathanael and says, when he's under the fig tree, "I saw you there before," right? Before you were there. You know, acknowledging that he knew this ahead of time. And I believe, especially, you know, according to Psalm 139, that God knit us together in our mother's womb, that he knew this situation was going to happen when they headed out on the boat across the lake. Verse 24, it says, "Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat." Now, the reason it says lake here in this translation is because really that's what it was. It wasn't a sea like we think of an ocean. It was a big lake called the Sea of Galilee. Now, it sat around 600 feet below sea level and was surrounded by mountains, which was what created that possibility for storms, right, with the cold and the warm air. And so they had some really big storms and waves up to as high as 10 feet at times. Now, when we read this in this chapter, it's not a figurative storm. This is a literal storm, okay? But it does have bigger meaning for the disciples, and it has bigger meaning for us as well. Now, we can certainly apply this in the literal sense. I'll give you an example. Last Monday when we left Michigan, we're sitting on the airplane and we're getting ready to take off, and I'm getting tornado warning alerts on my phone right before we fly out, right? And I'm like, I'm not feeling too good about this, right? So that would be like trusting God in a literal storm. But it's also talking about something else. It's talking about something bigger. It's talking about really the storms that we can apply to our lives that we navigate and that we walk through. And by faith, as our faith continues to grow, we can trust God as He leads us through those. Now, we get to verse 25. It says this: the disciples went and woke Jesus, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." And here's how He replied: "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Anybody ever been afraid as you've navigated a storm in life, right? You ever questioned the goodness of God? And I want to show you really the depths of this. Is what they were afraid of was, yes, the storm, but really what they were most fearful of was the difficulty that they could not control the situation. Right? It was completely out of their control. So I want to define a storm for us this way today. Something difficult that you might be dealing with that you cannot control. Okay? Because as human beings, we all deal with storms in life. We all deal with those. But as Christians, right, we know according to God's word that He is in control and we don't need to be afraid. Right? That God is with us, and that's what we're going to read about in just a minute. And it says this: "Then He got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm." And so Jesus reveals His authority over the storm, and then verse 27 says, "The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him.'" And so my question for you guys is this: do you ever feel like Jesus is asleep when you're going through something difficult? You ever feel like that? He's just over there, just kind of taking it easy, not paying attention, maybe like they would have felt in this situation. And here's what I want us to understand about what's happening here. They had seen many miracles done. They were not doubting His ability to control the storm. They were doubting His love. And what I mean by that, they weren't doubting that He was really in control. They were doubting that He cared enough to do something about it. And I think sometimes in life we feel that way when we're going through difficulties. Like, why then is God not doing anything about this particular thing that I'm going through? Is He just sleeping? Does He not care about what I'm facing? And if we're not careful, sometimes we can feel that way ourselves. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said this, because it's really intertwined with worry. He said, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" Well, no, they can't add a single moment to our life. And we know, according to Romans 8, verse 32, that God didn't even spare His own Son for us. So we know He cares about all the things that are going on in our life, particularly the storms that we face. And so I want to show you guys three things about this text that really the Lord just blessed me with this week, and I want to share them with you. The first one is this, and they're in your bulletin, is that God is with you in the storm. If you're going through a storm, something difficult right now that you can't control, I would just love for you to know today that God is with you. And see, when we go through difficulties, what's our typical response? We just want out. I just want this over with. Instead of going, "Lord, help me to see You in it and guide me through it." You know, I was thinking about Daniel chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the king, the Babylonian king, built up a tall statue of himself. And he said, "If you don't bow down to this, it's going to cost you your life." And the king throws the three men in the fire, but when he gets up, he looks and there's four men in the fire. This is called a Christophany. It's an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And he says, the fourth looks like the son of a god, right? But I see they're unbound and unharmed walking around. It was an appearance of Christ. And then he says, there's no other God who can rescue like this. Well, how does God rescue? Not just by removing us from the storm, but being faithful to be in the storm with us. We see that in Christ in this passage in Matthew chapter 8. The second thing is that the storm was instruction. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. The storm was not correction. The storm was instruction. So if you were to read the story of Jonah, Jonah was called to go to Nineveh and to preach, right? And to call people to repentance. And he said, nope, not interested in that. I'm going a different direction. The Lord sent a storm when he was out on a boat, right? That was a storm because he did the wrong thing. This is not that case. This is a storm of instruction. Now, what I mean by that is they followed Jesus, is what the text says, yet they still found themselves in a storm. And we have to be careful of whenever we find ourselves in difficult situations, in storms of life, thinking, oh, well, God is just paying me back for, you know, when I stole that gum when I was four, right? Like, that's how we think, right? God is just making me pay for something I did one other time in life. And it doesn't have to be that way. Like, going through a storm is not necessarily because of our sin. Our sin's already been paid for on the cross of Christ. And so it can be something that God is teaching us what to trust him in the storm. Here's the third thing, and this is so good, is that Jesus responded, okay? We'll read verse 26 again. It says, then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. And here's what I want to share with you, is even though they lacked faith, it did not change Jesus' faithfulness, right? Even though they lacked faith, and he challenged them on that, it did not change his goodness, right? He rebuked the wind and the waves, but he didn't rebuke the disciples for that. And he asked them, why are you afraid? Where's your faith? Calling them to let their faith grow, but it did not change his faithfulness to calm the storm and to show them that it was okay to trust him. Now, I didn't know how I wanted to wrap this message up, even as late as this morning, but I was reading and praying this morning, and the Lord led me to one of my favorite verses, and it's not in your bulletin, just because this kind of came up this morning, but I'll share it with you anyways. But the story comes from Mark chapter 9, and there's a dad who has a son with an unclean spirit, right? And he takes him to Jesus, believing that he can be healed by the Lord. And so he takes him, and the Lord asks him, you know, do you believe that I can heal him? And the dad responds this way, I believe, and then there's a semicolon, help me with my unbelief. I believe, help me with my unbelief. And man, I can so resonate with that, right? When we go through the difficulties of life, and we all face them, you all believe. That's why you're here. That's why we're gathered to worship God. We believe, but I know there are places in my life too where I feel like I have unbelief. And the Lord will make up the difference there, just like he did for the disciples, right? He's with you. He cares about you, right? And he will respond when we cry to him and call out to him for help, right? So that's my prayer for you guys today. Lord, we believe. Help us in the areas where we have unbelief, right? And he makes up the difference because he's good that way. And he meets us right where we're at today. So I hope and pray you all have a great day. I hope you have a good race. And I hope you do it in the presence of the Lord. He loves you guys so much and cares deeply about every single one of you. And so we appreciate you guys coming. Let me pray for us and we'll get going. Lord, we love you. And we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that you're with us in the storm. We thank you that you teach us to trust you. And God, we thank you that you respond, God, even where we lack faith. So, Lord, we believe. And God, I pray that you help us with our unbelief where we come up short. We love you so much, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.